Well, we are talking on Sunday evenings about who we are in Christ, who we are actually, really just period, and how that all unfolds. And as you can imagine, we live in a culture, generally speaking, that when we start getting into this kind of stuff, who are you? We have this sort of sense about us that we hope to hear from the stage all of the wonderful things that we are as a result of the fact that we are in Christ or whatever the case may be. We generally start out with all the good stuff, you know? But as I studied this and looked into this and started really asking God, who is it that I am in you? Who is it that I am when I walk into a relationship with you? It became more and more apparent that the starting point really wasn't the warm, fuzzy things I get to be, but the starting point was what I am as it relates to who God wants me and needs me to be. Because after all, this is about God and not about me. We started a couple of weeks ago talking about the idea that we are free to be who we are, who God made us to be because we're in Christ. But last week, we stepped into something a little different. We talked about the idea of belonging, didn't we? And we said that we belong to Jesus. And in saying that we belong to Jesus, we generally take that as something that sounds more like I'm part of something, it's really great, I'm part of a really cool group, that kind of stuff. But the belonging here is talking more about the fact that we are owned by than the fact that we get to be part of or belong to. So I this week I was reading, as I was studying for this morning's message, and as many of you may know, if you heard this morning's message, we ended this morning's message in a passage in 1 Peter, and that's where we're going to start this evening's message out, in the passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. So grab your Bibles, go to page 840 if you're using one of ours, or in your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2. We were reading in 1 Peter chapter 2 at the end of the service this morning as we were talking about the idea of the calling that is on our lives. And I want to show you something here because this confirms once again where we started last week and brings us right into where we're going to go this week. It starts out here by saying in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, you catch that? We'll get back to that in a second. Let's jump to verse 9 real quick. In verse 9, it says this, but you, it's speaking to us, those who follow Christ, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people, what? Belonging to God. There it is again, right? Belonging to God. We belong to God. I want to read you something out of the dictionary because I found this really interesting as we talk about the idea of belonging. So I looked up the word belong, right? And it was a little disappointing because it didn't say what I thought it was going to say. The whole idea of being owned by, because I thought that was really neat that we're owned by something and not belong to. So it started with the typical stuff. To be in relation with another member, to have proper qualifications like a social group, all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. But watch this. If it says to belong, in other words, to belong is this, that, and the next thing, that's exactly what we're talking about. But if you switch the two and you go belong to, you just switch the two words around, changes the entire definition in the dictionary. Isn't that cool? So to belong means to be part of, to have qualifications, all that. But to belong to, first definition, to be the property of, right there. Boom, just like that. As soon as you put the word to after belong, you are the property of something. The only other definition under belong to is to be part of something, to adjunct to it, like that cover belongs to that jar. Do you see what I'm talking about? It's not like I'm belonging to a group. It is I am part of something in such a way that you can't separate the two. The one belongs to the other. So I'm either owned by or I'm part of in a very significant way. In other words, I can't separate. So here we find out in 1 Peter that it says we belong to God. But who is the we in 1 Peter? Who is it? Who belongs to God here? Do you belong to God? Well, certainly you do, but that's not exactly who it's talking about here, right? Look what it's talking about. It says you, that's you and I, are what? A chosen people. That's plural, isn't it? We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. Do you see these words? It's talking about a group of people. This is not you. It doesn't say you alone belong to God. It says you actually are part of something different. You are part of a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and this royal priesthood, this holy nation, this chosen people, they belong to God. You with me so far? So if you jump back to just before that, when it was talking about us again in verse 5, it said, you also, who's you? That's us. Like living stones, so you are a living stone, all right? Are being what? Are being built into a spiritual house. You see that? And the spiritual house is going to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So we find an interesting dynamic here. Because I, though I belong to God, what it says here is I am part of something much bigger that belongs to God. I belong to a priesthood, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, all these things, and that thing belongs to God. I am a living stone, and I'm going to be placed into a living house that is going to be built, a spiritual house, and that spiritual house will be a royal priesthood that belongs to God. So where do I fit into the equation? I certainly belong to God. I am owned by Him. My rights have been relinquished for His sake. I live for Him. I do what He demands. I do what He wants. I exist to make His life better, to make His name great, and to exalt Him. That's my life right there. That is what we have become. We have been given the privilege to belong to God. But more than that, we are part of something that He says is bigger than just us individually belonging to God. Turn with me backwards to the book of Romans. I bumped into this. Actually, a friend of mine, Mike, was over at our house this week and in our home group, and he brought this up. And when he said it, it was like this awakening out of last week's message that we belong to God that just began to shape things into this incredible place. Romans chapter 12, page 788 of our Bibles, okay? So Romans chapter 12, verse 1, probably one of the, at least around here, one of the more famous verses at Mosaic and certainly one of my favorites. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. So we're right smack dab in the middle of your life is a living sacrifice to whom? To God, that's right. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. But watch this. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Watch this. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member, what? Belongs to all the others. Isn't that incredible? Do you understand what this means? This means that you, as a member of the body of Christ, a member of the royal priesthood, a member of the spiritual house being built, a member of the holy nation, you belong to the other members in this deal. You belong to them. And what have we already established? It means when you belong to somebody, they own you, and you are existing to be able to give yourself for them. We belong to one another. I belong to you. You belong to me. And together, we belong to God. And we exist as a body to bring glory to the one who we belong to, just as we individually exist to, in essence, serve one another in love in such a way that it is clear and evident that we belong to one another. Look what Paul writes in Romans here as he continues on. He talks about the different gifts we have, and then in verse 9, as a step directly out of this passage where he just said we belong to each other, he goes into this incredible little writing here. He says, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Isn't that cool? So he's jumping right in here saying, listen, now look, he doesn't stop there. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. He just keeps going on and on and on. He's just said to us, you belong to one another, and now he's saying, so this is what it must look like. Let your love be sincere, let it be real. I love in the English Standard Version, in the part where it says, honor one another above yourself, in the English Standard Version, it actually says, outdo one another with honor. It's like you're walking around going, oh man, you think you can honor me? You think you're going to honor me? I will outdo you as you try to honor me, and I will honor you better. Can you imagine if we walked around every day and we were alive today for one purpose, and that was to make sure that I outdid all of you in honoring all of you. And if you tried to outdo me in honoring all of you, you would fail miserably because I will do it better. Oh, that sounds like the church, doesn't it? Oh, wait, no, we must be talking about something that's impossible. In this passage right here, Paul begins to speak to us and say, guys, listen. You guys are meant for one another in Christ to honor one another, build one another up, be one together. And as you do that and you set everybody's needs ahead of your own, you in turn, as you exalt one another, will exalt me as a body. And I will be lifted up because you love one another. Turn with me to the book of Philippians real quick. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul is writing here, and we hear this a slightly different way. It says here in Philippians chapter 2, page 815, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being what? Like-minded, watch this, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. See, Christ, though he could have exalted himself alongside the Father. And let me tell you something, just in case you're wondering, yes, he had the right to do that. Yes, he could have done that, because yes, he is equal to the Father, absolutely, completely, and totally. And in fact, if he had done that, I don't know that the Father would have done anything about it, because they are one. But it says Jesus chose not to do that. Instead, what did he do? He exalted the Father. Just as the Father exalts the Son. The Spirit exalts the Father and the Son. The Son exalts the Spirit and the Father. The Father exalts the Son and the Spirit. God exists in this perfect community where they live in one and exalt one another, even though they are one and the same. It's incredible. Yeah, wrap your mind around that. You can't. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. But we can wrap our minds around this, that we, on the other hand, belong to one another. And as we belong to one another, we exist now to serve one another because you are everybody else's. Turn with me back to the passage in 1 Peter real quick. Because 1 Peter doesn't actually end where we ended. Look at this. It says in 1 Peter, page 840, it says, "But you are a chosen people," verse 9 of chapter 2, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Look at this. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men." Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, it is God's will that you would do such good that you would silence the ignorant men, just like he just said. As aliens and strangers live such good lives in front of the pagans that they have nothing they can say. But look how he's measured living a good life. He says, "I want you to submit yourself to all authorities given by men and do good under them." Look, he goes on. He says, "Live as free men," verse 16, "but do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone." The English Standard Version actually translates that, "Honor everyone." Honor everyone. "Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king." See, we can go on and on and on. I page through Colossians and Philippians and Ephesians. I page through Thessalonians. I page through all of the epistles in the back end of the book that aren't Pauline epistles. I went through there, and every single one of them, you go to 1st, 2nd John, all of them, they take you down the same path. They start by saying, look, you better love God. And then they say, hey, by the way, you better love one another because you belong to God and you belong to each other. You know what that means? That means sitting here tonight, husbands, you belong to your wives. You belong to them. You exist to serve them, to love them, to honor them, to build them up, to make their life all that it can be, to bring out in them everything they are to be. That should be what you wake up in the morning to do. Wives, you belong to your husbands. You do. You belong there to serve them and honor them and lift them up and exalt them and do everything you can to make them all that they can be. Parents, you belong to your children. You don't exist so you can have convenience. You exist so that your children will have everything that they can be as they grow up in Christ. And children, you belong to your parents. You exist so you can honor them and exalt them and lift them up and speak to them. Those of you that have friendships, you belong to those friends if they're in Christ. You belong to one another, and you exist to make them better than they are. See, our lives, according to Scripture, are called out that once we become a Christ follower, suddenly our life becomes about belonging, belonging to. It's not so much about what we get out of the deal. It's that we now have the honor to belong to someone and something else. And we belong to God, but we belong to God within this thing called the body. And in that body, we are told we belong to one another. In Ephesians, Paul writes and says, "Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is for the building up of others according to their needs." I mean, think about that. Let nothing come out of your mouth unless it is for the building up of others. Don't even do it. Don't even let it come out of your mouth. We sit here tonight and we forget that we belong to one another. We forget that we exist for one another, to honor one another, so that God is honored by our love for each other. And our love should be sincere, and we should give it away. So I ask you, what would it look like for us if we began to wake up in the morning and ask, God, today I belong to those who are in the body with me. And today, to honor you, I submit myself to all human authorities and I do good to them so that I would exalt them. You know what that means? That means if anyone is persecuting you, if anyone is being mean to you, if anyone is doing horrible things to you, if anyone is doing evil things to you, that is a perfect opportunity for you to do great good toward them. It is a perfect opportunity for you to pray for them. It is a perfect opportunity for you to submit yourself to them in the appropriate fashion and say, I am here to make your life better. I hate you. I know it's perfect. How do we know? Because right there in Romans, he says, do not persecute those who persecute you. Do not do evil to those who do evil to you. But instead, do good to those and leave the vengeance to those doing evil to you up to a just and loving God. Let him take care of it. Because don't worry, everything will be redeemed and everything will be brought to justice. It's not your job. Your job comes back down to you belong to. So we belong to God, but we also belong to one another. And tonight I want you, as I am, to reflect on what that means practically. Today, tonight, tomorrow. See, because we act and live as though we belong to no one. We act and live as though everyone belongs to us. It is just the reality of being human. We function as though the world exists to make our lives better. And when it doesn't work out that way, we get frustrated. When our needs aren't met, we get mad. And if we're Christians, then we just pretend to feel differently about it. And we struggle with the inner man fighting. But my prayer for you, as is my prayer for myself, is that as we grow up in Christ and we understand who we are, wait a second, I am a Christ follower. So I'm free to be exactly who God designed me to be. And who did he design me to be? He designed me to be a person that belongs to him, that does his bidding, a living sacrifice. He designed me to be a living stone in a spiritual house that is being built that will be a royal priesthood. And that royal priesthood will become something that becomes the sacrifice, the pleasing aroma to God. I am part of a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people that belong to God. That's what you are. That should blow your minds. And then out of that is whispered, since you're part of all this, you belong to one another. So leave this place tonight and ask yourself, what am I doing today that demonstrates that I belong to my brothers and sisters, to my wife or my husband, my children or my parents, my friends, my coworkers, my church family? What am I doing to demonstrate that I am submitting myself for the sake of Christ to those around me? That changes everything in my mind. It changes everything. And we got to start living that way because that's who we are. That's why we are. That's what God wants for us. I would like to dare you in closing tonight. I would like to dare you to figure out ways to out-honor one another, outdo each other in honor. Let's just start there. Let's just make it real simple. Since we belong to each other, let us outdo one another in honoring. So husbands, you outdo your wives. They try to honor you, you outdo them. You outdo them. Wives, you outdo your husbands. They try to honor you, forget about it, outdo them. Parents, honor your children. Children, honor your parents. And so on and so forth. What would life look like if we just lived out who we were? You belong to Jesus. You belong to one another. Live as though that is true.